welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show. This is Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, naturopathic, and my special guest today is Douglas DeLong, who has written a fascinating book, and Doug's going to tell us about it. It's Ancient Healing Techniques, and it's a course in psychic and spiritual development. I've read the book. It's amazing. It's easy. And welcome to the show, Doug.
Great. Thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Valerie.
Can you give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself?
All right. Well, I had a near-death experience when I was around 19, and that put me more onto a spiritual psychic path, and I started searching more things out, and I developed my psychic and spiritual abilities in great detail after the near-death experience. And from that, I've just been studying, researching as much as I could through the years. As a kid, I used to be able to see auras and chakras on people, and as I got older, particularly after the near-death experience, I started seeing lights and colors around people again, and then slowly opened up that gift, and just followed through. I've had pretty much worked all over the place, from electronics to libraries to writing, and I believe I've found my field with what I'm doing now.
Well, I've looked at your website, and it looks quite interesting. You're giving the courses in the ancient healing techniques and Reiki and
that's right.
Meditation and aura reading and things that I wish that I had been able to teach myself many years ago, so I applaud you.
Okay, thank you.
And listening to your story about how this all came about, listeners, if you haven't had a near-death experience, these things oftentimes happen to us. You have this experience and it's incredible, and you come back and go, perhaps there's something more.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. Once you've had a near-death experience, things change. You see the world in different eyes, and many times someone that goes through that experience will start to develop certain gifts or abilities, and I was fortunate to have that happen. I don't recommend anybody having a near-death experience if they can avoid it, but...
I kind of agree with that. Mine have been kind of difficult. And, I can truthfully say that, if God had lined me up and said to me consciously in this body, well, you know what, I'm going to increase your abilities and, you're going to have better contact with me. But first you have to almost die and it's really going to hurt a lot. I'd be going, God, I don't think so.
Oh, I agree with you. When it happened to me, I really didn't want to come back to Earth.
Yeah. And then it's hard when you get back, too, isn't it?
Very, very difficult. And it's quite an adjustment. You always have to try to find a balance with the spiritual and the physical earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's difficult when you have a memory of how easy it is when you're out of body and how beautiful it is. And, being in that unconditional love, it's awfully hard to come back and to be here knowing that.
Oh, absolutely, especially with what's going on the planet nowadays. You sometimes wonder, we have such a beautiful planet in some way, and then we've got all these terrible problems, and sometimes people just want to leave, and I can fully understand that, but I really believe we're all here for a greater spiritual growth right now, and I think we have great opportunity, and if we all can work together, I believe we can make the changes and make our planet back to what it's supposed to be.
I totally agree, and if any of these listeners are considering opting out, the best thing I can say to you is don't, because when you have to come back to another life, it's going to be three times worse. So if you think you have it hard now, that's nothing compared to what you'll have when you have to come back and do it over again.
Oh, yeah, it's like they're cheating death. They're having to relearn their lessons. They're trying to avoid something, and I believe that you can face your challenges and get over it, and then it makes it easier for you.
Oh, absolutely. And, we've all set up these things. That was the hardest thing for me to realize was, yeah, I planned this. So all those times I told my parents, hey, I didn't ask to be born. I was wrong.
Oh, yeah, I used to tell them that, too. But, yeah, it's a nice excuse you can use when you're a kid. But when you become more aware, it changes.
Yeah, I actually went back to my parents and apologized. And they said, oh, they didn't really understand, but it was kind of funny. And, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, Doug, and I must thank you for the book, by the way.
You're welcome.
You have done is created a Ancient Teachings for Dummies book, And I think you could have really sold that to the Four Dummies series people.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an incredible book. It's so easy. And, you know, for years, I always thought, why do they make it so damn difficult? You know, people are searching, and especially now, we don't have a lot of time to get our acts together. So I think that your book really fulfills a great purpose, and I was quite happy with the way you laid things down and just amazed at how simple you made it. And, you know, my feeling is anybody who's a ranked beginner could pick that book up and do these techniques and really be leagues ahead, you know, not have to go through all the hard work that we went through to get there.
Well, thank you for saying that and recognizing that. It makes me feel really good inside, especially if I'm having a down day and then someone phones or says something like that to me, particularly the way you're expressing it. Just makes life worth living. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you get your doubts, and when you do what you're supposed to, it just makes things much better. And I really believe a lot of people have tremendous gifts or abilities that are just stored within that need to be released. And you're right. I used to read books and stuff years ago. It was always difficult. There was you have to go through the great guru, and you had to do this and do that. And oftentimes there's mumble jumble in books. And I was really trying to put something through that was clear, concise, and would be easy to follow. And I'm glad that it's come out that way.
Yeah, I think it was quite gently done and quite simple. And, you know, I salute you for creating that work and putting it out so the public could get it. You know, I believe that everybody's awake to some portion at this point. And there are a lot of people out there that are really searching. They're searching for what they're supposed to do and who they really are and how to get through life. And they're no longer content with life the way that it has been, because now they're awakened enough that they realize that it's not real, at least to some extent. And so they're searching out there and wondering, you know, what's the next step? How do I do this? And, you know, what am I looking for? And why do I have to go and pay all this money out to somebody else when I could be doing it myself, I think? And so to get your book, I think it gives people encouragement that they might otherwise give up and say, well, you know, it's a bunch of mumbo jumbo anyway, and it doesn't work. But I'm here to tell you, listeners, I've gone through Doug's book, and I can tell very quickly if something works or not because of my own background and my search throughout the years. And those techniques work. So what I'm hoping, Doug, is first of all, will you give us some background on why you put the book together, and what does the book really entail, and then perhaps go into a technique or two, you know, just show people how easy it can be.
Oh, sure. Originally, I was doing a lot of teaching, one-on-one people coming in small groups, and I was always having this tremendous urge to put my writing down. And I wrote my first book, Ancient Teachings for Beginners, and then afterwards it seemed to follow through. I knew I had to put something more because I wanted it to be simple and easy, and I just, it was almost like something took over. And I had I guess I can tell you the strange story. I wasn't sure how to approach this book or the story, so I had written some information about a couple of pages on it, put it on the computer. I went to bed that night, and the next afternoon, I went downstairs, and I had these rough notes, and I looked on the computer, and someone had typed in a couple of pages, and I thought my wife had done it, and I'd asked her, and I thanked her for it. She said it wasn't me. So I got these little chills down my spine and realized that there was someone somewhere that was helping me, guiding me. And so when you feel inspired, you just follow through, and that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to put on paper what needed to be put, make it simple. And I do have special exercises in the book, as you said, to help people to open or to enhance their psychic abilities, particularly dealing with the crown and the third eye chakras. And the crown chakra on the top of the head is the one I focus mostly on, because if you can open up the crown chakra, you'll get divine energy or healing energy through from the God source, from the creator. And when it flows through, it enlightens your ability, and you can allow tremendous gifts and many things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And listeners, it does open up your crown chakra
mm-hmm.
very quickly. And, you know, mine tends to like go open and close quite a bit, as do most people's, but I'm fairly aware when mine's doing it. And so I was kind of looking for that as I did some of the exercises, and boy, it just immediately worked.
I'm glad it worked for you. I've had some people email or phone me back, say they've had some really great results. And sometimes I love doing some of the particular exercises or the chants, and it's neat to get the feedback. But I know it's very, very real. If you can use the power of the voice, it's the logos of the Word of God, and some of us can develop that ability if we choose to by using our voice. Sometimes they refer to as the carrier of voice. You have that gift, and you can send it out, and it can affect others. And I really believe many of us can learn to do that. And once you can do that, that sound, that vibration is so powerful, you can affect people in tremendous ways.
Awesome. Well, you know, it every time someone tells me something like that, I think about the whole quantum physics thing and about how everything is frequency now, we're finding out.
Exactly.
The sound now makes even more sense than it has in the last 50 years.
Yeah. There's more and more people starting to recognize the value to healing with vibrations. Even online, or what do you call it, traditional medicine is starting to recognize more and more. You've got people taking Reiki courses in the hospitals, and it's just expanding. It's all part of it. You'll still have people that will say, oh, I don't believe it, and it's all nonsense, and if you can't see it, then it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for them, because I know in the future we're going to be using more and more of the healing energy. More and more people are going to become aura readers and medical intuitives. And as they do, they're going to recognize and feel the energy. And when you can do that, it just makes the whole change. You can actually learn to be able to look at someone, see the beautiful lights and colors around an individual. And in some cases, when you develop the abilities, you can scan and pick up health conditions or certain impressions. And I really think that's the way our world is going, our future is changing, particularly regular medicine. If we can combine both and work with together in harmony, I think it's a wonderful blessing for all of us.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's a lot of medical intuitives out there who do just that. And I think there's a growing number of physicians who are doing that also. And we just don't normally tell people that we're doing that, you know, so they just think we're brilliant, you know, medical detectives. And actually, we're kind of looking at things and going, oh, wow, that doesn't look quite right. You know, just get these intuitive feelings. And what I found in my own practice is that sometimes people come to me with long-standing problems that no one has been able to fix because they're not on the physical level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have a physical result, but it's actually up in the etheric level or the mental level or something like that. And as soon as you address that, then all of a sudden the body gets well.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I agree with you completely. And it's just, it's wonderful when people can recognize that, know that it's mind, body, and spirit working together to heal.
Mm-hmm. And I think what happens with the sound frequency is that it reminds your cells of where they're supposed to vibrate, and it brings a connection through the voice, I think, to the creator as well as the person who's sounding.
Absolutely. And I really believe when you use certain exercises, particularly some that I talk about in my book, you can open up, as you open up your crown, you can affect your brain and other areas of the brain, releasing endorphins, increasing your IQ level, starting to use more of your brain capacity. And I think that's what's happening, is more people are becoming, as they say, enlightened. What's happening is they're actually opening up other areas of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're accessing parts that have been lying dormant for a long period of time. And it's really cool to see someone that's just starting on a path. They open up, they start seeing auras around people, they start sensing energy, they start working with their angels and guides, and it's just, it's an amazing process seeing someone that's there in front of you, and all of a sudden 6 months, a year later, they're just opening up and blossoming, and that's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say, well, that's just a crutch you're leaning on, but I really believe if you can use all of your potential, it makes you a better person. You can help more people.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think it's our responsibility to do so. You know, we all have these great gifts that we came to the planet with, and, you know, a lot of people are going around not using their gifts.
Oh, there's many, many people like that. They don't know what their purpose or mission in life is. They're just going to work 9 to 5, and sometimes they're just not seeing the greater picture. So when you can open up or activate your abilities, particularly the crown and the third eye chakras, you can start allowing some of that information to come through. And when you start hearing inner voice and getting that guidance, you start following your path. Sometimes the doors will open up in strange ways for you, and you should just go through it and let it flow the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too. Too many people try to force it and get themselves into trouble. And I think one of the examples of that is people that, you know, burn out their etheric bodies by trying to force the kundalini to rise.
Yeah, there's a lot of kundalini has a lot of benefits. If you work with it properly, you can have it rise in a nice, easy, gentle, healing fashion. Or if you're not sure what you're doing or you're abusing it, you can have tremendous problems. You can even burn some of the cells out within the body because of it rushing through from your base area right through. But if you can learn to work with it properly and open up your abilities, particularly of all your chakras or energy centers balanced to a certain point, you can then allow that kundalini, that energy, to flow through properly. And I think when you work with your own energy from the base and the kundalini through all the chakras, and then also access the information from the God source through your crown, it makes you a better person, and you learn to work with all your potential.
Mm-hmm. And working with all the potential is something that we're all striving for. A lot of people don't know that yet. But, you know, to work with your full potential really means that you are taking that God force within and moving it forward as really a super being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still look like a normal human. You know, but, but you know, I'm sure you've met, and I've met several people who are really super beings. And they live in a different world than most of the other people. You know, it's the same physical spot on the earth, but it's way different.
Yeah, they're totally different. And I really like to see people be able to open up more. I do teach in my book, I've got basic and advanced soul travel training techniques. And I've been able to soul travel, astral travel, since I was a child. Sometimes I would do it when I was sick or I was tired, or in some cases when I was a little bit older, I might have taken type of medication, pain medication, and it would create the situation where I would actually soul travel or slip out of the body. But I've learned through the years to be able to do it to a certain point, not just in a sleeping state, but in some cases in an altered state. And when you can learn to do that, it's like having a passport or a visa to start travel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can start going up into the heavenly fields, you can start talking to guides and angels, you can visit the Akashic Records or the Universal Library, you can access information, and you can even get information from relatives who have passed over. So there's such a potential that people will recognize that we're a soul within a body,
mm-hmm.
and we have that soul, and as multidimensional beings, we're able to be here on this earth and then be able to actually go up into the heavenly fields in some cases. So once you recognize that, then you can look at things a bit differently and realize that you're here to a certain point, and you know that you'll be able to go back up when you're ready.
Oh, yeah. I think that makes a huge difference. It kind of changes the despair that a lot of people feel in life. You know, now they don't have to despair because they know there's something else that's real, and it's an amazing process. And, you know, I can remember many times where I came out of my body and didn't realize I was doing that. And at one point I went, oh, great, you know, I'll go to Belize and I'll visit my friends down there. And I went to Belize and I was floating along, and I know some of the natives saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was floating down the road and I was going, now why the heck did I waste my time doing that?
Okay. You don't do anything like that while you're driving, do you?
No.
I know of a few people who have had experiences when they've been driving, and I've had to catch myself. But there's the other side of the coin. Some people slip in and out of their bodies so easily. They've been in such traumatic lives. They've had a lot of abuse. Mm-hmm. So they've learned to, as a coping mechanism, to leave their bodies, and they slip up into the heavenly fields, or they're visiting someplace on the earth. And they're not here. And it's very, very difficult when they're up there wanting to come back. I have had clients through the years that you have a difficult time bringing them back. As they come back, they're saying, well, I really didn't want to come back. I was up in the home. It felt wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for me to come back into the physical. So it can be difficult, but if you can find a balance with it, it's really beneficial.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen that problem you're talking about with people not wanting to come back when you guide them there. And I found that that's really difficult with people who have cancer and, you know, have a terminal diagnosis. And, you know, they say they don't want to come back. Well, most of the time, if I'm going to lead somebody on a meditation to that, I make them promise me beforehand that they're going to come back.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because I had one friend who was dying of melanoma. And, you know, I took her beyond pain, took her to see the dolphins and the angels and things. I made her promise me before she left that she'd come back. And when she came back, she said, "I only came back because I promised you." I said, "It's a really good thing I made you promise then, because your husband would have beat the crap out of me." So there can be dangers in leading somebody out there where it's more fun than here.
Oh, yeah. When you get to a point, particularly if you say with cancer, you're starting to slip in and out of your body anyway. You're in that in-between state,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it very difficult for you to leave. But when someone is suffering with cancer, sometimes people will struggle and fight to stay here mm-hmm. rather than letting themselves go when it's time. They just
sure.
want to fight and hold on. So I really think there has to be some type of balance somewhere. That sounds like a wonderful story you're passing on to me. I think that's great to be able to help someone like that. Because I find when someone is in that situation, in some cases it allows that individual to open up their spirituality. They may not heal their physical form, but they may be able to heal themselves on a soul level.
Exactly, and they may be able to see that there's something there other than they thought. I just had somebody who's been struggling with a really severe illness and, you know, barely hanging on, say that he believes that, you know, when you die, that's it. And I said, "Well, what do you think happens to your spirit? Because, you know, you believe in spirituality. How can you have this kind of an idea? What do you think happens?" He says, "Well, I don't know. I guess you just hang around." I said, "You hang around your decaying body?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, my God. What a terrible thing that would be."
Yes.
To die and there's no relief and you're laying there in the coffin looking at the darkness inside the decaying body. And I went, "Oh, no, we have to help you with this."
With all the worms and everything.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, my God, how can you be spiritual and not realize the truth?"
Well, once in a while you'll get someone like that. You're going to have a room full of people and you'll always have someone that's either an atheist or perhaps an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know. And I really feel sad for those people, is what you're saying, because they're truly missing something. They're not recognizing that there's much, much more to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, eventually they'd wake up on the other side, you know, but in the meantime, I mean, what a waste. Just kind of lay there and look at the darkness. Very strange.
Yeah, it's very closed mind, and it's unfortunate that the person's like that. But sometimes some people use the logical side and they get very cynical, or something's happened in their life and they've shut down that spiritual side.
Yeah, and that's really a shame because that's really who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug, could you give the listeners like a quick, easy technique that they could do to get more in touch with their own spiritual side?
Oh, absolutely. For anybody listening out there, particularly if you are driving, listening to the show, I'm going to mention that you should leave your eyes open when I'm doing this technique. But for anybody else that's just sitting in a relaxed position or lying down, I'll do the special chant. It's May, M-A-Y. It's like the merry month of May. And it's done in sort of a mid-C musical note. You don't have to be musical, but just you do it not too high a note, not too low a note. But I'll try it myself here, and I'll just sort of guide everybody for a moment. So what I'd like everybody to do is, in your mind, shut your eyes. Except for the ones that are driving, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to take a deep breath in. Hold it. And release it slowly. 1, 2, 3. And just go back to nice, normal breathing. And as you're doing that for just a moment, if you're able to, I just want you to take your one hand and put two fingers up to your forehead. And just lightly touch your forehead there. And as you're touching your forehead, feel the pressure, the energy of your fingers, and then remove your fingers, put it back in your lap into a relaxing position. Now as you've done that, I want you to start focusing all your attention, all your energy on the forehead and the third eye area. And as you're doing that, I just want you to feel and sense that energy, like there's a warmth or some type of sensation going in through the forehead, through the third eye, almost as if you could feel the finger of the warmth pulsing, going inside, going 1, 2, 3 inches deep inside. Now I want everybody to start focusing on the inside of the head. Imagine or just pretend or sense that you're focusing right in the middle of your head. And as you're focusing right directly in the middle of the head, I want you to believe or feel like there's a little small grape about the size of a pea. And in your mind, as you're looking at that little white grape right in the middle of the head, you can see and sense and feel this little white grape starting to vibrate, starting to move back and forth in the middle of your head. As it's moving back and forth, keep focusing all your attention, all your energy there, focusing directly in the middle of your head. And as you're doing that, I'm going to do that special May chant. And just sense and feel that vibration working right through. And feel as if it's working right up through the head, right towards the top of the head. And right on the top of the head, I want everybody to start focusing all their attention, all their energy right on the top of the head, right in the crown. And as you're doing that, I'm going to direct the chant once more. Now I want everyone to take a deep breath in. Hold it. And release it slowly. 1, 2, 3. And just get everybody to open your eyes once more. And just return the nice normal breathing. And that's it.
Wow.
Okay, I was just wondering how it worked for you.
That was awesome.
Great. I love doing that. It charges me. I get all this energy rushing through me, and it feels great to be able to do that.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Great.
Thank you for doing that. I hope the listeners really tried that. And if not, you know, and they're doing this on a download, they need to, like, back it up and really try that because, boy, that was really cool.
Oh, great. Sometimes if you can just relax, take a few deep breaths, and you can unwind your mind and try that mage chant a couple of times, either in the morning or nighttime, and just let the vibration work right through. It'll be different. Some people will feel a tremendous amount of energy. Some might feel a little lightheadedness or a little pressure. But if you try it every once in a while, you'll start feeling more. And it then affects the brain, the crown, and the third eye chakra.
Mm-hmm. And that's important stuff, listeners. If you're new to this, then all I can say is get Doug's book and try some of these things, and I'm sure that you'll be quite happy that you did if you're looking for spiritual evolution. For those of you who are old hands at this, I mean, I've been in the spiritual field ever since I was born, practically, and even though my family was against it, you know, I just kind of always gravitated that way. And, you know, I've pretty much been everywhere, done everything, you know, and tried all kinds of things. And even for me, this was stuff that I didn't know. I hadn't come across. So it was quite enlightening for me to practice these techniques myself and go, wow, you know, this is like a quicker, easier way than some of the other things that I've been doing. And they don't require you to be, you know, terribly proficient to do this.
No, you don't have to have a musical inclination. Basically, just by doing it, it'll work. And it may be slow for some, but it'll be very quick for others. And it is a shortcut to open up your psychic and spiritual abilities. Rather than working for 2, 3, or 5 years trying to awaken your gifts or to enhance them, by doing that particular technique and doing a lot of your own work, you can just allow things to open up the way they're supposed to. It should be easy, and that's the idea. That's one of the reasons why I wrote that book. I don't believe in it being very difficult, being convoluted. It should be simple, out there, and easy to do.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's just wonderful that it's that easy. And, you know, like I said, I've tried all kinds of techniques all of my life, and this is about as easy as it comes, you know. I don't know if it's because we're at a different spot now in our evolution and, you know, people are just understanding more because it's time or what's going on, but, boy, you know, it seems like it's much easier now.
Yeah, if you tried that type of exercise, say, even 20 years ago, there might be less and less people being able to feel it. But more people, as you said, are becoming more open, more awakened. And I think it's partially to do with our world raising its vibrations and there's a higher energy coming down. But it's affecting people. And in some way, they're able to start feeling and sensing those higher vibrations and working with them much easier. And I think we're much closer to the heavenly fields than we've ever been. It's like we're just a little slight barrier in between. That's why you have all these people like Sylvia Brown and all these individuals that are working as mediums, seeing angels and guides or loved ones that have passed over. It's becoming more normal. And that's great to see a lot of this going on our planet.
Oh, yeah. And I think it brings a lot of comfort to people. You know, especially someone like Sylvia Brown and John Edwards and James von Prague, you know, they're helping to connect you back to those that you love that have passed on. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I realize that most of us can actually do this, and we do it when we go to sleep. And, you know, most people just don't realize that, or they can't accept that because that would be just too weird, you know?
Yeah, or they get rid of the fear of some type of the way they were raised or brought up, the conditioning. And once they can get around that and let that fear or concern go, they're able to do it. And you're right, when you're sleeping, sometimes you'll slip out of your body, start talking to the loved ones that passed over. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful to be able to do that. My mother had died about 2 years ago. She lived in Florida, and I actually hadn't seen her in 28 years. She had cancer. And I guess we never really closed things off, but after she passed over, she started to visit me, and it was just a wonderful experience to see and sense and feel her talking to me and working things out. So anybody else out there listening that's had a, I'm sure, a similar situation like that, you can recognize that even though someone has passed over, they're still there on some level. They may be over on the other side, but in some way you can still pass a message, still communicate, send your love out. You can learn to let that problem go if you had a situation that you never healed while that person was alive, then you do know that you can do it now, even though they're over the other side. There's just certain ways of doing it, mm-hmm. and it just makes it much easier if you can look at it that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had, I've had all kinds of what most people would call weirdness, you know, most of my life. But, you know, I mean, to those of us that do this spiritual stuff, you know, it's pretty normal. And when my husband passed over, he actually came to me 3 nights after he died and sat down on the bed, dented the bed. Now, mm-hmm. I was awake, people. I was not asleep. I was wide awake, and I knew he was there, and I couldn't see him clearly, but he lay down on the bed and left this giant dent in the middle of the bed, and I was looking at it going, wow, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that would happen, and proceeded to talk to me, and I saw him quite a bit. For a while, for about the first 2 years, he came to me quite a bit and talked to me, and you know, it was quite comforting and quite interesting. And, you know, there was a point at which the guide said, okay, look, she has to live her life now, and so you can't, you know, be in there helping her because she's got to make these decisions herself. And I think that's one thing that's important for the listeners to know. You know, just because you can do these things doesn't mean you should devote your life to, you know, going and running to the other side all the time. Basically, it's up to us to take full responsibility for the lives that we have and everything that we do with the bodies that we have. So it's not about, you know, getting in touch with the other side and finding out what to do. And, you know, I mean, I've seen people get so ridiculous to where they go, oh, my angels tell me what to eat. And I've watched them sit at a table, and their so-called angels, quote-unquote, are throwing them from side to side. And I'm looking and I'm going, I've watched people go, should I have coffee? And they bounce back and forth and decide, nope, I can't have that coffee. Should I have spinach? And they bounce around again. Nope, I can't have that spinach. And I'm sitting there laughing. Okay, you got an angel, but it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, I agree with you there. People have to find a balance with that. You have to move on with your life and just do what you're supposed to. And it's sad. There are some people, as you said, they just get all wrapped up and they just can't get past that. In the same situation where people sometimes are looking into their past lives, they'll dwell on their past rather than focusing on their present and their future.
Oh, yeah, and the past is gone. We don't live there anymore.
Nope.
So it's very important for people to realize that and to really, you know, take responsibility and say, well, okay, you know, that was fun to find out about, but, you know, now what do I do with it? And what was I supposed to learn from that particular insight?
Were you able to see guides or angels or things when you were a child?
Yes.
Okay, you did the
same
thing.
But you know, my parents spent a lot of time telling me that that didn't exist.
Or it was a boogeyman, or it was your imagination?
No, they just told me it was my imagination. You know, you can't really see that. That doesn't exist. And I used to see auras completely clear around people. And I'd say, wow, you know, that's a beautiful, you know, just intense blue aura around that person. They go, or I'd say color, and they go, there's no colors around that person. What are you talking about? You know, and they'd act like I was crazy. And now, you know, many years later, my mother ran up to me as I was leaving Las Vegas and going to Sedona, and she waves me down as I'm driving out of the driveway. Oh, Valerie, wait, I have to tell you something. I said, what? And she said, I just remembered when I was a toddler, I nearly drowned, and I had an out-of-the-body experience, and now I remember I was floating above my body while they were rolling me over the barrel and trying to get the water out of my lungs. I said, that's nice, Mom, and drove off.
Nice to get the village.
Yeah, after all those years of telling me I was crazy, you know, and now she's starting to see a few things, and, you know, she's had her mother come around her and things like that. She tries to look the other way, you know. It's that old whistling past the graveyard ploy, you know.
Yeah. I had the same thing when I was a kid. I'd see things or angels and lights around people, and they did the same thing with me, and then I started to shut it down, I guess around 12, 13, and then as I was saying earlier, I had that near-death experience at 19, and that just seemed to open up things. I started seeing a little more light around people and then more colors, and then eventually I started having visitors. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, there'd be someone standing at the foot of my bed, or now I'll be lying there just almost drifting off to sleep, and I'll open my eyes and I'll see a beautiful angel, or I'll see a wing floating by. Or sometimes if I've been sick, someone will just lay their hands on me, I'll see these ethereal hands. One time I had this really bad headache. I was standing at the foot of my bed. It was fairly dark in the room. And I was standing, all of a sudden in front of me, this mist started to form, and this man's hand came through the mist, almost like watching that Addams Family, the thing wandering around my hand. And just like that, and this man's hand came out of this mist and touched me on my forehead. And I could really feel the fingers there, and I felt this tingling sensation go into that side of my head, and instantly my headache was gone. It was just a wonderful experience.
Cool. Now, that's amazing. Now, see, most of the time, if I'm up and around, you know, wandering around the house or doing something, I don't see that clearly. It kind of depends, you know, but if I'm in that twilight zone where I'm awake, but I'm not, like, you know, getting up and running around, I'm still just laying there and kind of like in that little twilight zone where you're real comfortable and you don't feel like getting up yet, that's when I tend to see things more.
Yeah, it happens for most of us. Sometimes I'll be lying or sleeping at night, and then I'll wake up and I'll see these people around me, these angels, and it can scare me a little bit. It's a little disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess because I'm scared, they disappear. It's like watching a Star Trek show when they got the transporter beam. They come and go. And it's, sometimes I wish they could do that more in the daytime when you're wide awake doing your stuff, but I think you have to find a certain balance for it. And in some cases, you don't want to be open all the time having all these guides and angels floating around. You wouldn't be able to function in the real world.
Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, I've said for a long time that the only difference between psychics and schizophrenics is that psychics can tune up and down the band and, you know, make the volume either low or high and turn it on and off. And schizophrenics are stuck in the low band. They can't adjust the volume. It's usually, you know, loud.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't turn it on or off. So it drives them crazy.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, our science, medical science, particularly psychiatry, if you're ever mentioned to a psychiatrist that you see things or you hear things, well, the first thing he wants to do is put you on medication or possibly put you in for a checkover.
Yeah. I know, that's a problem, you know, but I think what helps now is that, you know, so many of us have gotten together, especially since, you know, all the thing about the Indigo Children came out and all that stuff. And, you know, most of us my age are looking around and going, what are they talking about? We've been saying this stuff since we were kids. Nobody listened to us.
Yeah, same thing here.
Yeah.
And watching that, I remember watching the first Indigo movie, and I'm looking around going, so? We've been doing this for years. What's new?
That's exactly what I said. That was so funny. And I, you know, went to the Psychic Children's Conference that they had several years ago in Hawaii, and I was like, they're not saying anything different. And, you know, they're not behaving any different than we did, really. the only difference is that, you know, now we're the parents and we're saying, oh, yeah, you know, we know that's real and we're listening to you.
Well, when we were kids, it was an imaginary friend. Now more parents are opening up and they're allowing their children to keep their abilities. So as they become adults, they're fully open spiritually and psychically, and they're using much more of their brain capacity.
Yeah, thank God.
And up to not that many years ago, because of our society, computers and the logical side, you'd shut down part of your brain. And when you shut down part of the brain, it would affect the pineal gland. The pineal gland would actually start to calcify or dry up.
Oh, yeah.
And even though medical science won't fully recognize that, the pineal gland has a lot to do with your creative intuitive abilities. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a psychic gland or organ that tunes into the higher energies. And when people allow that area to open up or keep it open, they maintain a lot of their gifts through adulthood.
Yeah, and that's an important thing. You need to have those gifts. One of the things that I'd like to relate to the listeners is if you can do just the simple thing of seeing auras around people, it can clue you in as to whether you're in danger or not. And, you know, I've had my life saved many times by that.
So did you see dark energy around the person? Or?
No, actually what I saw was bright yellow.
All right.
And, you know, I didn't see the black, but it was when I was working on the hotline for the mental health place in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a crisis hotline, and we had a little office right outside the lockdown ward. And, you know, it's part of a volunteer thing. And this guy said, well, I'm feeling depressed, and I'm thinking about taking my life, and, you know, I want to come in and talk to you. I said, okay. So he came, and he had all the outward appearance of being really sleepy and really depressed and really down. And I'm looking at him, and he had this huge, bright yellow energy aura. And, I mean, it was so huge. It was unbelievable. It was like, you know, 3 feet out from his body. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking, I, you know, tune my eyes back into his face, and I'd look at his demeanor, and, you know, he looked like, you know, nothing was going on. And then I'd look back at his aura, and I'd go, this is not congruent here. Something's odd.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a little code, you know, that we'd call the main office and let them know. And so I picked up the phone and called the main office, and the guy said, you got a problem there? And I said, yeah. And he said, all right, I'll be right over. And as soon as the guy walked in the door, I started putting my coat on, and this patient sat there and said, well, what are you doing? I said, oh, well, you know, I have to leave. And he says, well, no, I want to talk to you. And I said, gosh, you know, I'd really like to help you out, but, you know, I can only work for 2 hours. And if I don't leave, like, right on time, they won't let me work here anymore, which was true. I didn't lie to the guy. And it was really funny because this guy just, you know, he didn't want to accept that. And he kept telling the other guy that came to walk me out, he said, oh, no, I just want to talk to her. And the guy said, well, no, I'll talk to you. You can come with me back to the main building. And the guy said, oh, no, I want to talk to just her alone. So they walked me over to my car, and I got in and drove off, and then the guy went ballistic. Now, the guy that had come to walk me out was 6'5" and pretty hefty. They had to subdue this guy, and they took him off to jail. And the guy called me up the next day, and he said, how did you know? I said, because I was looking at his aura. He said, his what? And I explained it to him, and I said, well, you know, that's an energy aura. I said, when somebody has that kind of physical energy and they're looking like they can hardly raise their head up, something's not right. And so that saved me. That was just one time, and I've had several others too. Sometimes I've seen the black or the red, you know, or something like that, but you know, and you don't have to be really proficient at seeing auras to clue into that stuff. Most of the time, we feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you may not see it, but you have this kind of funny feeling, you know. And so, listeners, if you get that hinky feeling that something is not right, go with it because it's probably completely correct.
Yeah,
pay attention.
What
you're doing is
you're
feeling the aura. You may not actually see it, but you're feeling it.
Yeah, a lot of people, they feel more than they see. But if you can learn to work with both, it makes it even better. And you can do so much. If you can see or sense an auric field around someone, you can tell if someone has health problems. As in your case, someone has emotional problems. If someone's angry, they've got an illness within the body. You can learn to do that, or you can sense a lot. And when you can do that, you can help people. And you can just look at a friend or relative and tell that something's wrong and be able to guide them. And I think it's a wonderful gift, and we all have that potential ability. And if people can just do it, techniques like sitting in a chair with a little white wall behind them and having a friend sit about 5 or 6 feet away and having the lighting just right, there's a good chance if you look properly and get in a relaxed state, you might start seeing a little light or even a little bit of color around each other. And the more you do that, the easier it becomes. And like yourself or me, we have that gift and ability, and I think everybody has that potential.
Yeah.
And a lot of children, they're just natural. They see lights and colors around everyone.
Oh, yeah. And as long as you don't tell them that it doesn't exist, then they'll continue to,
mm-hmm.
which is an important thing. And I'm glad that you mentioned, Doug, how to see an aura, because that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you.
Yeah. So you're reading my mind. Yeah, that happens too. You know, I can remember doing that in high school, and it flipped everybody out because I didn't realize they hadn't opened their mouths and asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get back to doing that. Sometimes I do it, but for the most part, you know, it used to be very common, you know, when I was in my teenage years, which, by the way, listeners, is quite common. We oftentimes get these gifts in the teenage years or sometimes younger. So I think that people would, you know, be a little bit easier with that and not think it's all from the devil or something, you know, but really realize that this is part of being human, really. Then it might be easier for everyone.
It's all part of being connected with the higher self, with the heavenly field, the creator, God, great spirit, whatever you want to refer to that supreme energy as. And when you recognize that you're part of your soul is eternal, it's connected to the higher levels, it makes things seem much different.
Oh, yeah. Makes life so much easier, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah, because, you know, now instead of, you know, wailing about, oh, you know, why is this always happening to me, we go, all right, let's sort this out. What exactly is going on? And, you know, what could I have done? And you know, what's my message here? What's the lesson? And, you know, sometimes it's not a lesson. Sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time because you didn't listen to your intuition, and that itself is the lesson.
Well, I believe everybody gets some of their intuition comes through when they least expect it. Even someone that's very cynical doesn't expect to have anything like that. And when they have it happen, they will try to deny it.
And
if you can start working with your intuition and your abilities and pay more attention to what you're feeling and sensing than using your logical side, sometimes you'll find things will flow a whole lot better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have a friend who's an atheist. And the first time that I met her, she said something about, well, you know, I'm not spiritual. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I about laughed myself silly. I almost fell off the chair. I was laughing so hard. And she's looking at me, and she's an MD. You know, she's looking at me and going, why are you laughing hysterically? Are you laughing at me? I said, yes, I am. And she said, why are you doing that? And I said, you know what? You can tell that BS to somebody that can't see you, but I see you. And I said, well, do you realize it consciously or not? You are spiritual and extremely so. And there's a lot of instances where she did not listen to her intuition because she was raised by a genius father who said this stuff doesn't exist and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And she was horribly damaged because of that, because she trusted a colleague when she shouldn't have. And, I mean, it's affected her for the rest of her life. And, you know, it's pretty sad. In my book, I've written that particular story down because it's a perfect example of, you know, getting the intuition. Like, she knew she shouldn't have let him do surgery on her, and she did it anyway. And then he screwed it up, and she let him go back in and supposedly try to fix it, and he really screwed her up, you know, and then it became permanent. And that was just a little case of just, you know, not listening to the little small voice within.
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't listen to that within.
Yeah. Their lives would be way much easier and way happier if they would listen.
And there are a lot of people that, I was going to say, almost get themselves overeducated in some way that mm-hmm. they're using one side of their brain too much.
Yeah.
And they just over analytical and they shut down the other side. And you need to be able to use both to function properly. And when you can do that, you can use the logical side when you need to, but you should be able to switch over, use that urge, that intuitive ability, and work with that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then you're really being a complete human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you can utilize your creative aspects as well.
The only people I find I have a difficult time working with is someone that's over, over analytical, very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to take a crowbar or a hammer on top of the crown just to try to get it open up, and it's quite a difficult process to do.
Yeah, I agree with you, because you've got to fight all of their previous programming, and that's really difficult to do, especially if they don't want to let go of it.
And the other problem is if someone has their heart shut down, their heart chakra, they keep it closed for too long, they end up getting sick, or they just don't allow the healing and the love to flow through. And I guess I want to tell listeners, another key is to be able to work with your heart chakra, to feel the love, to open it up. I'm not a religious person, but if you can think of that, the statue of Jesus with the Sacred Heart, and that Sacred Heart is almost like a mystical symbol. It's a representation of the healing energy that you have within. And if you can activate that, you can send true healing to yourself. And once you've done that, you can use it to help others as well.
Absolutely. It's all about love. The Beatles were right. And what I would like to really point out to listeners, too, is if you're interested in taking a class from Doug, if you go to his website, douglasdelong.com, then you will be able to find not only the book, but also different classes that you can take, online courses, as well as actually going to Canada and doing this, and get the help that you need if you really want to do this. And I must say your prices are pretty reasonable, Doug.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's nice to get feedback like that. I do want to mention that I'm just getting together my correspondence course, the Ancient Healing Techniques. And it's I'm just probably will have it up in the first week of February. Since you brought it up, I thought I'd mention that to you.
Yeah, I think that there may be listeners that would be really interested in that, and I hope that they do take advantage of it, because I find that your writing is very simple and easy to understand. And that is the trick. You know, when you're writing anything for someone, you know, it has to be simple enough so that the majority of people who pick up that book are able to understand it.
Exactly.
So I think they've got a pretty good chance of really getting to practice these things well with your instruction, because you have a nice, informal, kind of a simple way of leading people to the right conclusion without beating them over the head with it.
Oh, thank you. I prefer writing something down, taking one page to write, rather than having 10 pages.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that we've been able to do since the information explosion. You know, I've read a lot of Alice Bailey's stuff, and it's so difficult to understand. And same thing with Madame Blavatsky. You know, it's like, you know what they're saying is really important, but you have to read it and reread it and reread it, because they take an entire book to tell you something that we could cover in a paragraph or two now.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
You know, and that's got to be because of the information explosion. And even one of my teachers, Torkham Saradarian, was one of Alice Bailey's top students. And he's written on some of the same subjects, and his books are so easy to understand. And you get it, you know, and you see it on different levels. And her books are very, very difficult. So I think you've gone, you know, one step further and just made it to the simplest common denominator here. It's just so easy. So I would urge you listeners to take a look at the book, Ancient Healing Techniques. I found it to be quite fascinating and easy, and you know, it doesn't take half of your life to read through it, which is good, unless you have a really, really short life. And you know, it works. And if you practice those simple techniques and do the chant, and I think you've only got like two chants in that book, don't you?
I'm trying to remember that one. I think there's
you've got
I
the May chant
two,
and then
yeah.
The aim.
There's the aim and the May chant, and I review some of the chants from my first book in it, but basically that's the two I go into detail with.
Mm-hmm. And they're quite effective. So I'm grateful that you have found those chants and brought them forward for us, because, you know, where else are we going to find it? You know, especially the ancient healing techniques.
Well, the problem is there's organizations that will teach you some of these so-called secrets, but they want to control it, and they want to do it over a long period of time, and only so many people are ready for it. And I really believe this knowledge, or this wisdom, if you want to call it, should be out there for everybody, should be available. Mm-hmm. And it just helps us become more enlightened. And as you open up your heart and your crown chakra, you can touch others, and it just makes all the difference. And I really, truly believe that we can make this a wonderful place and be able to get rid of a lot of that evil that's around and have it unfold the way it should be.
I totally agree. And you give protective exercises, too, in your book, which I thought was wonderful. Because, you know, when people start opening up, then, you know, you increase the positive energy as well as the negative, and, you know, pretty soon there's negative stuff they have to deal with. So I think that that was quite good that you included the protective exercises in there.
Great. I also have headache removal techniques in there for anybody who wants to use it. If you have you've got migraine headaches or one of your children has a headache or aches and pains, you can use techniques to send healing, particularly with the hands, and help your family members.
Yeah, that was a good point, too. And you have other techniques in there for different parts of the body, too, and and for increasing energy, and who doesn't need that at this point? So I'm grateful for the book, and we have to sign off here and let the next person get ready to get on. But I do want to thank you very much, Doug, for being on the show and for writing a terrific and easy-to-understand book, and I wish you much success, and I hope the listeners really take advantage of what you're offering out there.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Valerie. It was a real treat being on your show.
Well, it's been great fun, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show again.
That would
be great. Looking forward to your next book.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And listeners, thanks for tuning in, and tune back with me next week. And in the meantime, be healthy, be happy, and blessings to you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.